Hi, and welcome to our ongoing conversation on the topics and biblical principles discussed in the Women's Ministry Committee email series, Reflections on Our Unique Callings. My name is Ben Kratz, and joining me again today are some of the members of the executive team of the Women's Ministry Committee. You want to go around and introduce yourselves real quick?
My name is Dawn Schultz.
I'm Christy Meyer.
And my name is Naomi Schmidt.
Great. Maybe just to get us started, Christy, could you give us an overview of the devotional series, kind of where we've been and maybe how we got to this week's devotions?
So remember that we started in the Garden of Eden, and we looked at men and women being created in the image of God, in that beautiful, perfect image of God, and how that was where they first started and began. We looked in week three at how sin unfortunately marred that image and how that continues to have an effect today. We looked at the relationship that has been rebuilt through Christ's sacrifice, that we are now blood-bought children of God in the passage in Galatians. Last week, we did a word study of Azer and looked at what it means that Adam specifically had a helper created for him and how that translates to women in general, the beautiful connotations of that word. And this week we are back in the Garden of Eden, looking at how we move from good to not good to very good.
It is striking. Like, you look through the first chapter of Genesis, and I think I counted it once. It was like 8 or 9 different times where God says at the end of each day, you know, it's good, it's good, it's good. And then kind of as the first email pointed out, chapter 2 is kind of a deeper dive into the things that happened on day 6. And all of a sudden, in the middle of chapter 2, after all these goods, you have God say something's not good. And all before sin came into the world. I guess, what does that tell you about your unique calling as a woman?
I know for myself, that just lets me know that it wasn't that God looked at Adam and said, oh, it's not good, I made a mistake, but rather that there was a forethought and an intention of bringing what would be a complement to the man that he had created in Adam. And that what a unique calling as a woman brings is necessary and it's needed. And God knew that. And I think for me, it also highlights, I've gotten to be in Bible study and meetings often with Kathy, and hear her often say how so many times out in the world, there's the encouragement for women to just get into a man's world, and to do that, they need to be a man. And how sad that is, because God didn't design women to be men, to have manly qualities or to be something other than what he intended the very feminine woman to be in her unique calling as a helper in the situations that God has put her into. And so I think for me to know that it was not good for Adam to be alone means that in my unique calling as a woman, I can embrace that.
That is such a cool thought, because there are times, and I think especially in our world today, you know, we talk so much about gender equality and females can do anything that men can do. And that's not a bad concept or a bad thought, but our world really does tend to twist that more than we would as Christians. And I'll talk about this a little bit more later in this conversation. As a female in math, I absolutely feel it. This is not something that is a typical field for female, but that's okay. And I can still use my feminine qualities in whatever place God has put me, in whatever gifts that I have. So it's a balancing act. It's a balancing act of using the unique gifts that I have, and then also using my femaleness. And I don't mean using in terms of wielding or anything like that, but using them to God's glory, and remember to balance both of them, what position I am in and how I as a female can bring something different than perhaps a man would to this situation. And embracing both those viewpoints are both important.
I'm going to pick up on your idea of balancing, Christy, because it's interesting that I had a similar concept, but maybe something a little different that just kind of went through my head when you said that. And that was the idea of the completeness, that it's so important in scripture to see that the work that God has completed, he completed completed creation and it was perfect. He completed the work of salvation. It's done. It's perfect. And so when I was listening to this idea of this, now the woman is created and it went from not good to good and very good. God is telling us that he's complete. And if I don't recognize that part of the final product includes being a woman, then I'm missing something. He didn't stop after he created man. And so when I'm just reminded of the perfect holy wisdom of God and his greatness in saying, I know how to do things and bring them to completion, part of that completion is the inclusion of women. And it urges me on to remember how important it is to rest in that, delight in it, to flourish in it, and not to feel like I wish I was something else. And that really struck me.
The picture of completion is absolutely beautiful because it is something that was lacking and it was something that God knew how to finish. And that's why it's so important, I think, to read Genesis 1 and 2 and finish. Finish the story. Here's where it ends. And now it is very good when things are done.
And not to shy away from the opportunities when they do present themselves. You know, it is easy for women sometimes to be like, oh, it's probably fine without me, or to pull back from situations where they could be a help because it might be challenging or it might be difficult. But recognizing that they are necessary and they are needed. And God gave women unique and wonderful qualities in creating her as a female that are necessary to whatever is going on. It's not done, not good without her.
That was one of the things I kind of had picked up, maybe not quite the same way, but I think you've all touched on it, is just how God saw woman as a needed and important part of his creation. That as he's going through it, all of a sudden he says, no, nope, something's not done. Or as Naomi said, something's not complete yet. But then just doesn't go and create it, but helps the man see the need so that he understands, here is this perfect companion for me. And I think, Naomi, you mentioned that in our discussion on the first email this week of how now man understands that. Like he sees everything else is complete. Everything else has this partner, this companion, and now God creates this perfect companion and he responds in this joy and thankfulness of, here's this perfect companion now God has given to me. Now I am complete, so that God can say, now things are very good. Maybe jumping to our next kind of thought, then we've talked about before about maybe not leading with the unique callings of men and women when talking to an unbeliever. Maybe this isn't the first thing we bring up to say, hey, let's talk about this first. But sometimes that conversation is going to come up, or perhaps someone will ask you why, why as a woman do you behave differently than the world might expect you to behave? How do you respond, or how can you respond and still serve as a witness to the blessings that God has given to us in those principles?
For me, the most important is to let someone get to know me as a woman first, and let someone see this is how I behave in every aspect of my life. Not that I am going to be a shrinking violet or that I'm going to let people walk all over me, but I'm also still going to be respectful to those around me, to those who God has placed as my head, and let that unfold naturally just by my actions before ever talking about the topic. I find that it's way easier to answer a question when it's asked out of a friendship or out of a response to something that they've seen, as opposed to trying to push the subject and shoehorn in the conversation. So if my life can in itself be a witness without ever saying a word, that makes the conversation so much easier for me, because I have already established this is who I am and this is how I behave, and you know who I am. Let's talk about why. That said, I am sinful and it doesn't always work out quite as well as I would like it to. There are plenty of things that I do that I really wish I didn't, but I try. And so that's where I try to begin the conversation.
I think that's a great point, Christy, that we not feel like we always have to shy away from it and be afraid of those conversations. They are challenging. But I think if somebody really asks that question and really wants to know, like, do you really believe that whole submit business, and you really, you know, that you go for that? And I really would want them to understand that I do. Can I explain to you, though, how the design is built and what it really means? Because the design is not built around a human understanding or a human example of leadership. It's designed in a world where God says, I love you perfectly, and I'm going to create things in order and do things that are orderly. And then when I look at Christ and I see how sacrificial his love was, and I see what he gave, that is something that I want to follow. I respond to that because the Holy Spirit has opened my heart to understand it and embrace it. But in the same way, then I look at human leadership and I see the same thing. I'm seeing the blessing and the authority that God has given in that situation. So I'm not following leadership because the leadership is good. I'm following the leadership because God has asked me to do that as an expression of my love. And so even when it's difficult, I will step up and do that. I will try my best. I'm with you, Christy. Don't always do that very well. But certainly understanding the motive, because I think that people think women are supposed to submit because either the men are right or it's their place. Nope. It's answer C, because God asks me to do this and I can do this for his glory. That is the motive. If I can keep that love and that that picture in my mind, that goes a long way. And I'm willing to talk about that with people, that I want you to understand that love that I follow, because that's what I'm doing here.
I think you can point to a good and gracious God when you really are honest about the flightiness of our own sinful hearts and our own sinful natures. I mean, we live in a world right now that everyone is so unsure about their identity that they're trying every other identity out to see how it feels, and still come back at the end of the day not knowing. So much so that the whole idea of you be you is out there, but no one knows what that really is. And so to be able to point back to a creator who had a design, and in that design gave up his son for our salvation. Again, an unbeliever might not understand that, but I think they will understand how unsure, how unstable the human heart is in that we don't even know, again, our identities, our genders, what choices to make for our children, you know, all of those kind of things. We need help. We need someone to say, here is a good plan. And that person who does that is our Heavenly Father.
And the beauty of what you just said, Dawn, is what we talked about earlier in this summer series, that then brings it back to Christ, that you can take the question of, why do you as a woman live in a way that the world would not expect? Here's why. Because I have a God who asked me to. Let me tell you about him. Here's why. And this is something that then points us back to Christ and allows us to get the conversation to where we want it to go.
It was a few weeks ago just that we talked about how we were created in the image of God, and we are also created male and female. How does your life as a woman reflect that very goodness that was shown at creation?
I've been studying the book of Proverbs, chapter 31 in particular lately. And if you go there and you breathe in one breath that entire chapter and see who that woman is and what she does, rather than tearing it apart and looking at all the tasks, just grasp for a moment her beauty and her essence. And when you see this woman of God go through life, you find that there are people around her that look forward to being around her. They sense her beautiful spirit and the grace and the kindness that she brings. It is so lovely. And when I imagine the Proverbs 31 woman, I do not see a face. I cannot see the clothing that she's wearing or any outward adornment. I see her heart. I see that she comes to people and brings this essence of femininity that is so incredible, and it all glorifies God. It isn't a womanly wile. It isn't an outward adornment. It's that beautiful spirit of Christ that is kind, and women bring that. that's who we are. And men have their own identity and their way of expressing their faith and living. But it's so real to say that a Christian woman is unique. And I wouldn't want to define it too much more than that, because those gifts and strengths are oftentimes found other places. But there is something to that femininity. And I think for me, the Proverbs 31 woman captures it when I look at that whole section together. It just breathes joy into my heart to see her.
That is a wonderful and amazing picture that is sometimes hard to emulate. Yes, this is right. This is the ideal. This is the, I love the acrostic poem in Proverbs 31 that indicates that this is the ideal. And so it is hard for us to live up to that. In some way, we're not supposed to necessarily. It's the ideal. I don't know that I intentionally reflect the very goodness that God has created me to be. I mean, clearly I don't reflect it perfectly because we're no longer in a perfect world. But I would say for me, being I've mentioned this, a female in math, I try to be a role model or an example for my female students, especially. And it isn't anything conscious. And it isn't as though I'm ignoring my male students. I don't, I hope. But it's just giving my female students someone who looks like them and is able to relate to them just in a slightly different way. And I think that's maybe a really good aspect of what it is like to live out as a female, to have someone you can look up to and say, you are like me in the ways of being female created in that. What kind of natural connection do we have, and how can we play off of that natural connection? It's not anything conscious necessarily. It just kind of happens. And hopefully, as imperfect as I am, sometimes that can live out.
I think it's so cool too, how many women we see in scripture, so that, you know, some people are going to relate well to Ruth, and other people will relate to Sarah, and there's so many women in scripture, and they're all a little different, but they all reflect that image of God, and we can learn from all of them. And so, like you're saying, Christy, that there's so many different kinds of women and so many different ways to do it. And I think going back to scripture and learning about different women in different situations and how they act and react and what can we learn from that. And scripture gives us a really full picture too, that I think is so encouraging.
And I think too, Naomi, as females, when we read scripture, we are once again naturally drawn to those accounts of females. That's not to say, once again, that we shouldn't read all of scripture, but just that's human nature. You're drawn to the people who are similar to you. You're drawn to the people you have connections with. And so it is incredibly beneficial. It's an incredible blessing to have all of those accounts of females in scripture. And then once again, try in our imperfect way to be a small part of that as well.
And I think going back to the idea that God did create us to be interdependent, you know, what grace and beauty, and I'm not just talking physical beauty, but the femininity that God created women with, what grace and beauty are they bringing that are complementary to the male, to husbands, to leaders in the church, to situations that desperately call for a welcoming spirit or a softer touch or whatever it is that makes that grace and beauty that a woman brings. And again, that's not just physical beauty, because it's so much more, but there is an essence. And Naomi, you said that before, that a woman brings that is necessary to the world as the way it is, just as it is necessary that the strength, and again, that's not just physical strength, but the strength that a male brings that in the way that God designed him to be. It goes together. It is meant to be something that God designed to be together. And you can see it so perfectly, you know, when it's played out in as close to the way he designed it as possible, which I think we've all said is very hard to do.
I think one of the things that makes it really confusing too, is that some women don't feel feminine and some men don't exude strength. And so somewhere in there, we start to get confused about identity and think, well, if I don't feel feminine, you know, something's wrong. What do I do? I don't know how to handle that. or if I'm in the presence of a man who isn't strong and doesn't give me that feeling of security, then maybe I need to step up or do something. And so we start reacting and we start doubting. And I think Kathy really hit on that the father of lies is right there to say, see, this design doesn't work. You're not really feminine. Well, you are, because you're a woman. And that isn't to say that you always like pink. And we have these false ideas of femininity. So I love the idea that we've just had today to explore that and realize that it's more about essence than it is about what you wear or how you look. And I think that's super important.
Thank you, Naomi. I think it is important not to shoehorn into a particular thing or way, because God didn't do that in his word. And I think that's the beauty of allowing his word to be what dictates, the spirit to be what leads, and to follow that leading just simply by being who God created us to be.
So for you to summarize the two emails that we looked at this week and the discussions we've had, summarize or give a takeaway for the readers this week. One thing you'd want them to remember from this week's devotions.
I will play off of what Naomi said to finish up here, that if it feels like it doesn't work, that's our problem. That's Satan telling us that it's our problem. It is not the problem of the design. God designed this imperfection, and it is marred by sin now, true, and it doesn't work as well as it should, but that's not God's fault. That is sin's fault, and that is not something that we can reject the design and say, nope, doesn't apply anymore, doesn't work anymore. That, again, is Satan telling us that. So the design was created in perfection, and therefore it is good.
I think for me, the takeaway is just that what God saw as necessary and needed is necessary and needed. And so if that's me as a woman in my unique calling, I'm going to dig into his word and find all of the ways that he shows me what that looks like and shows me how to be that. So as his child, I am bringing the feminine nature, the unique calling of a woman as helper to the situations that he's put me in to be what he created me to be.
I think for me, just because I know that all of us struggle with this in the sense that we live in a sinful world, we have a sinful nature, and there's this constant straining of, I can't get it right. It's not working very well. And so for me to just go back and rest in, again, in that completeness of God's design to say, nope, this was my design. This was perfect. And now it is done. And everything that we need to be, everything that we are, this is the plan. And so I'm being drawn to rest in the completeness of Christ, that there's going to be forgiveness when I fall. There's going to be hope when it doesn't work out well. And so just that whole picture of God's rest, his gift, his goodness that he gives to us, just the grace that smothers us, that includes this straining and striving to understand my identity and my callings in this world. And so I don't have to feel the discouragement because I'm resting in the completeness and the gifts of Christ that I have through grace.
Christy, you want to give us a quick overview of what we're looking at next week, where we're going?
Next week, we are going to head back to the New Testament. We're going to look at spiritual gifts and how these come together, male and female. We're going to look at some implications of those spiritual gifts also. In particular, one of the topics that's going to come up a couple of times during the second half of this devotion series is women in leadership. And how does that play out for women who have been blessed with spiritual gifts of leadership? So that is part of our conversation next week.
So thanks for joining us this week, and hope that you'll join us again next week as we continue the conversation.